Good afternoon. Welcome to the Committee on Workforce and Business Development. I call this meeting to order, and this remote hearing can be viewed on the House webcast. This remote hearing is pursuant to Rule 10.01. With that, I wanted to ask Mr. Chavez, the Committee Legislative Assistant, to take the role.
Chair Noor.
Present.
Chair Noor, present. Vice Chair Jejong.
Present.
Vice Chair Jejong, present. Lee Hamilton.
Present.
Lee Hamilton, present. Baker.
Baker, present.
Baker, present. Dabney. Dabney. Frankie.
Frankie, present.
Frankie, present. Greenman.
Present.
Greenman, present. Haley.
Haley, present.
Haley, present. Jurgens. Jurgens?
Jurgens present.
Jurgens present. Cagle?
Present.
Cagle present. Katiza Watun?
Present.
Katiza Watun present. Olson?
Present.
Olson present. Tujong?
Present.
Tujong present. Dabney? Dabney? Mr. Chair, we have quorum.
Members, we have a quorum present. With that, I wanted to entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the previous meeting on Friday the 5th. I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Lead Hamilton moves the approval for the minutes on March 5th. Any discussions? See none. All those in favor, please say none. Aye.
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 Opposed? Seeing none, the motion prevails and the minutes for March 5th is now approved. Members, we do have three bills. Those bills are all related to childcare. And as we all understand, this is an important issue when it comes to workforce development. And the first bill before us is House File 260, which is with Representative Waslowick. Welcome to the committee. I will move your bill to be re-referred to the Early Childhood Committee. Welcome, and please introduce the bill to us, and I'm assuming you don't have an amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No amendment, just the bill in its form today.
Please proceed.
Mr. Chair and members, Chair Noor stated, childcare and early education are important parts of the system that support our working families and in turn our employers. We saw just how important childcare is during the pandemic when many parents were forced to take on the care of their kids while trying to work from home. Our childcare providers stepped up to take care of the children of our essential employees and have been continuing to provide care for children and families throughout the pandemic. Despite their importance to our society and our workforce, childcare and early education professionals continue to receive low wages and often don't have access to benefits. We also have a shortage of these workers and really high turnover in the field. And what we do know is we also have a shortage of childcare slots. If we're going to have enough childcare slots for all families who need them, we need to have more professionals in this field and we need to keep them in the field. House File 260 provides incentives to get more childcare and early education professionals into the field and helps to keep them there. It provides funding for scholarships to help these professionals advance in their education and grants to help them stay in the field once they've gotten jobs there. Just a brief walkthrough of the bill, and with that, I will turn it over to testifiers to talk more about the program and how it's helped them.
Thank you so much, Representative Waslowick. I see you have a couple of testifiers lined up. So the first person I have is Mark Cooley. Welcome to the committee. Introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Noor, and good afternoon, committee members. My name is Anne McCulley, and I'm Executive Director of Child Care Aware of Minnesota. And in order to move quickly through the data that you also have as one-pagers in your packets, I'm just going to do a few slides. The most important thing today, I think, is for you to hear from some of the recipients of these programs, but as a way to ground you into the programs. Just to reiterate what Representative Wasilewicz said so well, early childhood education is a critically important profession, and yet we all know that the early childhood workforce is often undervalued, undercompensated, and prone to high turnover. Even prior to the pandemic, up to a third of early childhood workers qualified for public assistance, and Minnesota spent at least $43 million per year in public assistance for these primarily female workers, often women of color. Minnesota's early childhood workforce is the cornerstone of high-quality early care and education, and therefore Minnesota needs qualified, diverse, supported, and equitably compensated early childhood educators so parents can work, businesses can hire, and children can thrive. So I'm just going to walk you through the two programs that this bill addresses. We are currently the administrative home to both of these programs, which is why I'm here with you. The first is the Teach Early Childhood Minnesota Scholarship Program. And this is a fairly straightforward program that helps folks working in early childhood and school-age care, both in center-based and family childcare settings, to increase their levels of education, compensation, and commitment. It's been around since 2002, and you can see there we've spent about $6 million since that time on this program. It's been primarily funded through federal Child Care Development Block Grant money, and we've helped over 1,000 educators receive their degrees at 40 colleges and universities in our state. Even though the funding has steadily increased through the block grant, there is definitely an increase in both the demand for the program and also, of course, the fact that the college costs continue to rise. So in order to continue to provide scholarships and support these students, we are seeking, through the help of legislature, some additional funding through the state. This is just a quick snapshot of the awards that were given just in 2020. We do this just to kind of show you that there's a good balance between, for instance, which degrees people are pursuing and the right pie chart there. So fairly evenly split between bachelor's and associate degrees. On the left pie chart, you can see that it reflects a lot of different roles within the early childhood system. And the number for family child care providers has fluctuated over the years, sometimes being a little higher. In 2020, it was a bit lower. And then down below, you can see that the recipients are split pretty proportionately by where the workforce lives and works. So between the Twin Cities Metro and Greater Minnesota, that's actually fairly reflective of where the programs are. And that 35% of our recipients last year identified as BIPOC, early educators. So that's a little bit of a snapshot about TEACH. Moving on to the Retain Bonus Grants. Again, this is a program that is available to anyone working in early childhood in both center and family childcare settings. And it really is seen as exactly what it sounds like, a way to try to retain our people in the workforce. I will point out this is the only program right now that does directly go to compensation. So these bonuses are available to anyone who has a Child Development Associate Certificate, which is a non-credit certificate, or an AA, a BA, or a Master's in Early Childhood Education or a related field. And these bonuses are available to use to cover professional expenses or other personal expenses that affect the ability for them to stay in the field, which, again, very low paying field. This allows us to try to close some of that gap. Since 2003, we've awarded over grants to over 2,000 degreed or credentialed early childhood educators, and as a result, kept them that much longer in the field. And you can see that grants range between $1,000 and $3,500, and that is dependent right now on, again, what level their certificate or degree is at. The average was about $2,270. So the challenge with Retain in particular is that we are often turning away at least half, if not two-thirds, of eligible recipients every round. And we do these as separate rounds just to make it a little bit more fair for our family childcare community and then our center-based community. And each time we are turning away many people. So once again, as we all are focusing on the importance of not only attracting but retaining a workforce, looking to the legislature to consider some additional state funding to support what is currently available from federal funds. And that is really it for my portion. I'm happy to take questions now, or certainly we can do them after the other testifiers. I'll defer to you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you so much, Ms. McCauley. I appreciate the presentation. We'll wait for the other testifiers and we'll take the questions in the end, at the end of the presentation for this bill. The next person is Ms. Church. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed. You're muted. We cannot hear you. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Chairman Noor and representatives. Hello, my name is Kathleen Church. I run my own home-based naturalistic program called Creative Children Child Care, Casa di Creativa Bambini. My demographics will also be able to add a bit of different perspective view. I am based in Northern Hubbard and service Cass Lake area, Northern Hubbard, and parts of Beltrami, including the band of Ojibwe of Leech Lake, on a big service. I service families that bring a great diversity and culture to our community. My program is based on a blended approach that offers a Montessori and traditional preschool delivery of life skills, social, emotional, including divergent literacy, math, manipulatives, work, large and small motor activities with dramatic play with added engagement, with a large emphasis on culture and diversity and naturalistic environment for the child under five, allowing that child to drive their learning. The impact that Teach has had on me personally and others in our community from seeing what I've been able to do is helping to bridge the equity for both adults like myself that would have never been able to afford to go back to university and also the ability to continue to work in the field. The program has allowed me to show younger adults that impact our community, the young Native Americans that may have dropped out of school originally, can make a future and has persuaded many to re-enter the university and college to set up skill sets. The program that I've decided when I embarked on this journey with the help of Teach was to explore all my options available to me. I explored all the options that came available to me through Teach, 2-year programs, 4 years, BA, BS with licensure. What I can say is not only was Teach instrumental in helping me bridge that gap, but allowed me to attend the program that I felt would engage and enhance skills I had already with an understanding of more growth and potential. By being able to attend a very unique program at St. Catharines University that offered me not only early childhood program, but a program that allows us to explore not just a traditional childhood pedagogy, but also Montessori style, giving me an edge and a greater toolbox to bring to all environments of early child in all types of programs, whether it is school, classroom, a traditional building, a center-based, and a Head Start, or a naturalistic home-based preschool, helping us to meet the need and demand that our community needs to excel and nurture and guide our children into the future. The profound effect that Teach has given me to inspire women for the reservation to also go back to school and aim higher for their future and also help little ones even more. I will be the first person in my entire family to have graduated from university. I was a child that grew up in a metro area in Milwaukee and grew up in poverty with serious ACEs, being fatherless from the age of 7 as my father died unexpectedly and was most people would call a latchkey kid. Again, I would like to say the importance of teaching the empowering of early childhood professionals to gain their degrees and giving guidance to people who are committed to empowering and enlightening of young minds for the better future. And my most important note of this program allows the availability for home providers, not just center staff and school staff, the same ability to offer equity to all dedicated early childhood committed individuals to take part in making a better future for little ones and allowing parents to have the choice and the options that work for their families. This program is critical in bridging the gap that may exist in this program given to many, allowed us to build early childhood profession and give us human collateral investment the world needs right now, especially in Minnesota and throughout this country.
Thank you so much, Ms. Church, for your testimony and sharing your story with us. We value the work that you do every day to help young Minnesotans reach their full potential. So we sincerely appreciate you. With that, the next person that I have is Ms. Hernandez.
Hi, good morning. Good afternoon, actually. Mr. Chair, members of the committee and guests, I come to you from my child care center here this morning. Today, this is such a great opportunity to share my experience here with the Teach Scholarship. My name is Emily Hernandez, and I worked in retail for 5 years. And when I found myself wanting a career change, I looked into working at a child care center because I've always loved working with children. Throughout my first 3 years at one center, I was promoted from an aide to an assistant and then to a lead teacher. When I moved centers, I heard about the child care program at Concordia University and was immediately intrigued. A coworker explained to me that the program catered to mothers, full-time workers, and even those who wanted to take college just a bit slower than anyone else. I had said I didn't think I could afford a private university education on my hourly wage, but she mentioned the TEACH program and how it helped to cover a portion of tuition, and I applied that night. I would be over $30,000 in debt if I wasn't for the TEACH scholarship. TEACH is one of the main reasons I decided to go back to school and get my bachelor's degree. Now I'm a year away from graduating with the highest distinction, summa cum laude, and this program has allowed me to further my education in a way I could never even imagine. I aspire to have my master's degree someday and would absolutely come back to TEACH should funding expand to cover graduate degrees. 90% of a child's brain develop by age 5, and therefore expanding funding for this program is essential, as this field shapes children's mind during a time of mass brain development. These early educators deserve the proper education to give each child the best chance to succeed in school and in life. TEACH provides the funding for early educators to get this high quality education, so they are the empathetic, compassionate, and educated teachers parents pay for. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Ms. Hernandez, for all that you do, and congratulations on your successful completing the programs, and looking forward to see what you'll do next. So the next person, the last testifier, is Ms. Kalala. Welcome to the committee. Introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Good afternoon, committee. My name is Cheryl Kalal, and I have been a family child care provider for the past 18 years in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. The retained funding is extremely important to providers. As you know, I work in a field that is not highly compensated. Providing and maintaining a high-quality program is important to the families that I serve, as it provides them with the safe comfort knowing that their child is being well taken care of and provided quality learning experiences to learn and grow and be ready for kindergarten. Providers spend 50 to 60 hours a week in providing direct quality care to families. In addition, we spend our own family time in the evenings and the weekends to go grocery shopping, shopping for crafts and supplies, shopping for materials such as toys and equipment, researching field trips, preparing lesson plans, and looking for resources to assist families in those times of needs. And also attending classes to increase my professional development as well. Receiving this retained funding this past year has truly been a big incentive to me to continue my hard, dedicated work in the early childhood field. It is one way that I can feel appreciated in my role as a family child care provider. For me, I choose to spend this money in a few ways: helping to support my education, helping to buy some more equipment for my family childcare, and lastly, to continue building relationships with my families and colleagues that I have in my care. Please support this bill for the funding. This needs to be an investment in retain so that providers can feel appreciated, compensated for their long hours of hard work, but also to support us in our commitment to providing quality care for families across Minnesota. I have also been a TEACH recipient for a few years. I obtained a bachelor's degree through TEACH in early childhood education from Concordia University. As you know, this field does not pay well, and to have financial assistance from this program is invaluable to any individual in the early childhood field. I received my bachelor's degree so that I can become also an early childhood trainer to educate providers such as myself, providers at centers that have that need the required training from the Department of Minnesota. This TEACH program has eliminated the financial stress for me so that I can increase my level of education and thus become more committed to the field. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Ms. Kalal. And quite frankly, as you noted, this is an investment to providing quality care, and indeed it is. So with that, I wanted to open up for discussion. Representative Haley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks so much to the testifiers this afternoon. and also to the bill author, Representative Wasliwick, and Ms. McCulley. In my previous life, I worked for an education foundation. I'm very familiar with Child Aware when that was first launching, so thanks for your work in that area. This might be to Representative Wasliwick or to Ms. Culley. I am supportive of your bill. I'm just curious on two questions. If you can clarify the amount of federal funding that we get so I can understand the percentage of, you know, what we're putting in as a state versus what we get from the federal government. And then I have a follow-up question after that.
Representative Wasliwick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll let Ms. McCulley, she's a lot more well-versed in the federal funding piece. I'll let her take that one.
Ms. McCulley.
Thank you, Chair Noor and Representative Haley. So I'll start with retain. That is a little bit easier one. That tends to be around $250,000. To 500 at the most a year. So basically this would double the amount we get each year from the federal CCDBG. Teach is a little more variable as well, but roughly I can go with this year's budget is about $1 million. So again, I believe it would half again as much for the biennium toward teach. So it would allow us to certainly for retain to double the amount of people we could serve. And depending on the scholarship levels, people choose possibly even double the amount we give for teach.
Representative Haley.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Noor. Just for information for the rest of the committee members and Ms. McCulley, we also have a program that was started a couple sessions ago called the Workforce Development Scholarships. And that was scholarship money for our post-secondary institutions. And we added early childhood development to that program last biennium. That was, I carried it originally in 2018 and Representative Pryor carried it after that. You're nodding that you're familiar with that. Can you just tell me how this intersects with that?
Sure, absolutely, and thank you. Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Haley. Thank you for carrying that. Yes, it's a great program. We were so excited to see early childhood added. I would say there's a couple of differences. First of all, that is currently limited to, I believe, the two-year programs. Probably the biggest difference is, and I'm glad you gave me a chance to say this, TEACH is structured for people that are already in the field, who've been working in early childhood, who realize, wow, I love this work, I wanna make this my career, but perhaps stopped at the high school level or with some college credit. Whereas the Workforce Development Scholarships, I think, could be used that way, but often also cater to our students who are just coming out of high school, for instance, and thinking they may want to get into this career. So TEACH is for working professionals, and it's done on a part-time basis while people are still working, and there's a commitment to stay in the field and in your job while you're taking your scholarship. Workforce Development could be used a little bit differently, but they're wonderful. They pair well together.
Representative Haley.
Thank you very much. I appreciate those clarifications.
Representative Cortez Otun.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative Wasliwick, for bringing this bill forward again this biennium. I think it's one of the really powerful tools that are accessible to childcare providers here in the state of Minnesota. As we know, I mean, obviously the pandemic has really laid bare some of the disparities, not only among the workforce as a whole, but particularly the childcare workforce that we know is disproportionately women and people of color. So I think that Ms. McCulley, thank you for sharing some of those statistics. Really impress upon us the importance of this program. And I think I'm looking forward to hearing this again in early childhood. I appreciate all of the testifiers sharing their stories. You are all doing such powerful, critical work to support not only the economy of the state of Minnesota, but all the families and children as well. And particularly to Ms. Kalal, thank you for the work that you do in serving the children around the Eden Prairie area.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Representative Cortez Otun, and we welcome the additional member to the committee. So the next person is Representative Juggins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I really don't have a question. I just want to be on the record. I'm a co-author on this bill, so it has bipartisan support. I want to thank Representative Wasliwick for bringing this forward. I think that, you know, most of us have heard of the challenges, especially in greater Minnesota, but even in the metro area. Sometimes it's access to child care. Sometimes it's the cost of child care. And it really is important as we look at programs in this committee related to job and job creation, job growth, Those employees, in some cases, would love to go back to work. They just don't have an option for childcare. So I think anything that we can do to help in that area is something that we should do. And as we all know, and we've heard in testimony, that the childcare workers aren't the highest paid employees we have in the state, but they're it's a very important function that they're providing. And I think that these programs are good, and I intend to support them. And thanks again to Representative Wozlovic for bringing them forward, and the testifiers for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for testifying today. This is much needed resources in helping gain some skills and also developing careers in the childcare field, especially with the Child Development Associate Program. So we really appreciate the work you do. With that, I wanted to give Representative Wozlowick closing remarks before I renew the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to testifiers today who shared their stories. I think their words are the most powerful that we have here, and sharing their personal experiences about how these programs have positively impacted them and the communities that they serve. I do want to point out, I forgot to mention this in my opening remarks, but increasing funding for these programs is actually one of the recommendations of the Family Child Care Task Force as well, which I was the co-chair of with Senator Kiffmeyer in the Senate. So I just wanted to point that out as well, that there's a larger piece of this that, you know, not just for our centers, but our family child care providers as well, this is a really important piece to help them get in and stay in the field. So with that, I just want to again thank testifiers and folks who spoke in support and members for good discussion.
Thank you so much. So I renew my motion, House File 260 be re-referred to Early Childhood Finance and Policy Committee, and the committee legislative assistant, Mr. Chavez, will now take the roll.
Chair Moore.
Aye.
Chair Noor, aye. Vice Chair Jaejong.
Aye.
Vice Chair Jaejong, aye. Lead Hamilton.
Aye.
Lead Hamilton, aye. Baker.
Baker, aye.
Baker, aye. Daphne.
Daphne, aye.
Daphne, aye. Frankie.
Frankie, aye.
Frankie, aye. Greenman.
Aye.
Greenman, aye. Haley.
Haley, aye.
Haley, aye. Jurgens.
Jurgens, aye.
Jurgens, aye. Cagle.
Aye.
Cagle, aye. Katizo Atun.
Aye.
Katizo Atun, aye. Olson.
Aye.
Olson, aye. Tujong.
Aye.
Yuzhong, aye. Mr. Chair, the motion prevails with 13 ayes.
With 13 ayes, the motion prevails. Representative Wozlowick, you're on your way to the early childhood. So thank you so much to the testifiers. The next two bills are with Representative Olson. Please move your bill, House File 411.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that House File 411 be held over for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill.
Thank you. Please tell us about your bill and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So I have two bills up that deal with the child care shortage in Greater Minnesota. So my opening comments and setting the table for House File 411 also apply to the next bill as well. So it's no surprise to this committee that there is a childcare shortage in Greater Minnesota, and that has an impact on our workforce and our entire economic landscape. So between the year 2000 and 2020, Greater Minnesota lost more than 20,000 childcare slots, which is about 17% loss. And just to compare, in the metro area, in that same amount of time, was about a 2% decrease. So we were losing childcare providers in great number in Greater Minnesota. And childcare, or the lack thereof, in Greater Minnesota is one of the most significant economic development barriers we face. To address the 39,000 missing childcare slots in Greater Minnesota, it will require between $45 and $120 million in capital if we expand capacity by increasing family license slots by 60% and childcare center slots by 40%. Which is the current ratio here in Greater Minnesota. The problem is that childcare providers in Greater Minnesota cannot access private commercial capital because it is almost impossible to design a childcare business that generates enough revenue to cover operating expenses, wages, and capital expenses. So House File 411 would inject $20 million of capital, with $10 million in state funds and $10 million in local private funds into expanding child care capacity in Greater Minnesota. So the bill provides $10 million from the general fund into the Greater Minnesota Child Care Facilities Grant Program. This grant program was established in the fall in the bonding bill, but it did not actually receive the funding. The bonding bill created two separate accounts for this program, one funded from the general fund and one funded through the bonding committee. So the one we're seeing today in House File 411 is funded through the general fund account. The purpose of the Greater Minnesota Child Care Facility Capital Grant Program is to keep our or enhance or expand or create new economic development in the area in which their grants are made by providing facilities for the child care necessary to support workers and their families. Eligible applicants include a private child care provider licensed as a child care center or to provide in-home family child care, a city, county, or school district, or a joint powers board established by two or more cities, counties, or school districts. And eligible projects include, they could acquire land or an interest in land, pre-design, design, renovate, construct, furnish, and equip facilities in which to provide child care, or for other child care facility improvements to support the purpose of which this grant program is established. Money from the account in the general fund may also be used to upgrade or expand existing nonprofit child care facilities for purposes of meeting state requirements. And it also requires a 50% local non-state match. And Mr. Chair, I have four testifiers on the bill, and there are two testifiers from Laverne, and they have asked to go back to back as their testimony really tells a full story when told together. So a request for that order if possible.
Thank you so much, Representative Olson. The first person that I have on this bill is Mr. McMahon. Welcome to the committee, and state your name for the record and your affiliation. Proceed.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of House File 411. And I want to thank Representative Olson for authoring this important legislation. My name is Scott McMahon, and I'm the Executive Director of the Greater Minnesota Partnership. The partnership is a collaborative of business, government, and community leaders from across Greater Minnesota who support public policies and investments to promote economic prosperity throughout our region. There's a great quote that says, "Childcare is a business that allows other businesses to be in business." Every business across the state is built on a foundation of 20, 30, and 40-year-olds committed to seeing that business succeed. But if those employees cannot access childcare when their lives require it, then the business cannot maintain its workforce, grow, and succeed. And as the Minneapolis Federal Reserve Bank has noted, families need access to childcare in order to participate in the post-pandemic economic recovery. But in Greater Minnesota, as Representative Olson has indicated, we lack almost 40,000 childcare slots, which means we only have 66% of the childcare slots that we need. And as a result, we have thousands of job openings, good jobs with good pay and good benefits, that go unfilled because our employers cannot recruit the workforce they need because their community lacks childcare openings. In order to build our new capacity to shrink the 40,000 childcare slot deficit, our childcare providers and entrepreneurs need access to capital. Based on an analysis developed by the Northland Foundation and their 2018 childcare and workforce study, which is in the members' packets, we need at least $125 million in capital and startup funds to eliminate our 40,000 childcare slot shortage. The problem is that childcare providers cannot access the capital needed because it is next to impossible to build a financially sustainable childcare center in Greater Minnesota. So no bank is going to provide financing for a business that is all but guaranteed to fail in 3 to 7 years. But we have seen success stories of new centers opening in our communities. And every time this happens, it is because the local community has been able to come together and create public-private partnerships to provide the capital needed to build the center. And the childcare centers in these examples work because one center director told me as she was trying to start a second center in her city, "I can generate enough revenue to pay my staff or pay my mortgage, but I can't do both." The Greater Minnesota Childcare Facilities Grant Program provides financing to childcare providers and local communities to build new capacity. The financial impact of this program to our childcare providers is that it can remove the capital expense from their balance sheets, allowing them to focus their revenues on their operations and make it so they can, in fact, operate sustainable operations. The investment contained in House File 411 provides $10 million in public financing to be leveraged against at least an additional $10 million in private financing. This investment has the potential to reduce Greater Minnesota's childcare shortage by up to 15%, with childcare slots that are sustainable and that provide the wages needed to maintain our childcare workforce. I simply cannot state how impactful and how much of a game changer this investment will be for our communities. This type of capital financing simply is not available to our childcare providers, and it is exactly the investment we need to eliminate the shortage. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions members may have.
Thank you so much for your testimony. The next person is Pat Bastian. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Noor. I am Mayor Pat Bastian from Laverne, Minnesota. And thank you, members of the committee, for allowing me to testify in support of House File 411 and 412. Laverne is in Rock County, way in the southwest corner of Minnesota. Just ask Representative Hamilton and he'll just point his finger to the west. We're a county population of about 9,800. Laverne, where I'm the mayor and have been for the last 10 years, is the county seat with a population of around 4,700. In 2017, our Laverne Economic Development Authority brought up one large ongoing underlying problem from our Laverne and county business community, which severely undercut their business growth. In 2017, that problem was daycare and has only grown to a more severe problem today in 2021. In 2017, Laverne Economic Development Authority commissioned Maxfield Research and Consulting from Golden Valley, Minnesota, to accomplish a market feasibility study for childcare for a childcare center in Laverne. The study is available if requested. In 2019, we updated this study, which identified 46 licensed childcare providers in Rock County. Today, there are 33, and that was before the COVID pandemic. With the 33 licensed providers, and if they are all licensed for 12 slots each for daycare, that equates to 396 childcare slots in the county. With the updated study in 2019, it pointed out that there was a potential shortage of 328 daycare slots for a daycare center and a potential shortage of 141 slots for in-home daycare. That's for Laverne and Rock County. Since 2017, the city of Laverne has had five separate independent citizens that have approached our EDA for assistance in starting a daycare center. With every one of their potential startups, their business plans, it was found that either to buy or remodel or to build a childcare center to handle even 100 daycare slots, that the sheer costs of it drove the principal and interest payments too high to make it even profitable. The overhead of bricks and mortar are a double-edged sword, making it hard for these daycares to pay a competitive wage for their employees while also being able to afford a physical structure to house a daycare. Daycare shortage in Laverne and Rock County is one of the most important economic development issues with our local businesses that are looking to grow. Without affordable daycare or any daycare at all, there is no economic growth in our business community. Daycare shortage is a severe problem for our employers. No daycare equals no business growth. They are directly tied. Thank you once again for allowing me to testify in support of this bill, and I'm open to questions.
Thank you so much, Mayor Bastian, for your testimony. The next person I have is Luz Burke. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Noor and committee for allowing me to speak today. I'm Tammy Lusbrack and I oversee the hospital and clinic here in Laverne, as well as Adrian and Edgerton. It's like Mayor Bastian said, about as far in the southwest corner of the state as you can go, and we're one of the largest employers here in Laverne. And what we've seen is just a shortage of daycare in Rock County and several of our surrounding communities for years, and it's just not getting any better. And for most people, they think, well, I'm out of that daycare stage and it doesn't apply to me, you know. So I've got a few just personal stories from my workforce that maybe make it a little bit more relevant to everybody. But the first situation I'd like to share relates to a general surgeon that we had on staff here in Laverne, single mom of twin little boys. And she used an in-home daycare for Laverne, for her daycare here in Laverne, as we don't have a daycare center. One morning, really, really early, about 4 or 5 a.m., I received a phone call from her saying her daycare provider was ill and that she would not be able to take the boys that day. So this surgeon is on the phone with me talking about all of her backup plans and who she's trying to call to get to take care of her kids. And as the leader of the hospital, all I could think of was the four patients that had done their surgical prep or their colonoscopy prep the night before. And we all know how wonderfully fun that is. And to have to call them to reschedule. So after several phone calls, staff were calling friends, family, anybody that they knew. We ended up with one of my surgery nurses actually getting her college-aged daughter to come back and watch the twin boys for the day so that the four patients wouldn't need to be rescheduled. My second example I have is one of our mental health providers that we're recruiting. It's the wife of one of my physicians here in town. And as we know, mental health is just a growing issue across the state. And when you find somebody that's good, you really want to bring them. We're hoping to hire this physician's wife to be our mental health therapist, as she was working in Sioux Falls, which is about 30 to 40 minutes from here as a mental health therapist. And when she went to Sioux Falls, she brought her children with her to Sioux Falls for daycare. So when we offered her the position, she reached out right away trying to find daycare in our community and was not successful in finding daycare. So it actually took us about a year and a half to finally recruit her to Laverne to find, when she found daycare, to be able to transition and come work with our patients here in Laverne. So that delayed some access to mental health care services even within the community. And I often hear from staff here in Laverne that they're having to plan their families around when daycare providers can accommodate a baby. My administrative assistant shared with me that her daycare provider will actually go down the list and say, okay, you just had your baby, now are you gonna go next? And if you say, nope, I'm done, then they work on to the next person. And so all of these people are working around planning their kids when their daycare provider can actually accommodate them and it's their turn. The last example that I have kind of pertains to it was one of our physical therapists here. Her last son was born right after the start of the year, but her daycare provider couldn't take that little one till the fall. So in order to make it work, she did her 12 weeks maternity leave, came back and only worked part-time, but had her mother-in-law, who is our volunteer coordinator, and her mother, who's a nurse, take time off at their schedules to help balance. So between the three of them, they juggled the day coverage of being off to stay with the baby. And then her husband, who's a teacher at the school, has the summers off. So they patched that through till the summer. Then the summer, the husband was off, which carried them till the fall when the daycare provider could finally accommodate that baby into her schedule. So, you know, I've had nursing staff job share. I've had people volunteer to take PTO one day so that the other one can now work. It's just been a juggling act from all of my staff. So I guess what I'm imparting on you is if you think daycare doesn't apply to you, no matter your age, in our community, if you need a nurse to care for you, general surgery, rehab following an injury, or even mental health services, it could impact the care that you're getting. So with that, I'll entertain any questions and thank you for allowing me to speak. It's an important issue.
Thank you. The next person is Scott, Mr. Marquardt. Please welcome to the committee and state your name for the record and your affiliation. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Scott Marquardt. I manage the economic development programs of the Southwest Initiative Foundation, and I'm also on the board of directors with the Greater Minnesota Partnership. We serve 18 counties and two Native nations of Southwest Minnesota, with our region's corners being Ortonville, Laverne, Jackson, and Litchfield, including all of Representative Baker and Representative Hamilton's districts. My remarks today also bring the lenses of being a region that borders two states that we compete with for workforce, retail, trade, and business investment. I'm grateful for the chance to talk with you today about the fastest growing economic development issue in our region. As you just heard from Mayor Boston and Ms. Loosbrock, it impacts job creation and retention, entrepreneurship, and business growth region-wide. That's a comment we made prior to the pandemic, and what we've seen in all of Southwest Minnesota is that the pandemic has shined an even brighter light on the urgency of this crisis. In June 2020, First Children's Finance did a study in our region, and the shortfall actually increased to 3,652 childcare slots just in our 18 counties alone. This is having a real and detrimental impact on our businesses and their ability to attract and retain talent that they need to compete nationally and globally, and in their ability to help build an economy that provides opportunities for all Minnesota families to prosper and build assets for the future. We're grateful to Representative Olson for authoring House File 11, which will provide urgently needed funding for the Greater Minnesota Child Care Facility Capital Grant Program. As written in statute, the purpose is to keep or enhance jobs, increase the tax base, and expand or create new economic development in the area to support workers and their families. Exactly what we need in Southwest Minnesota and all of Greater Minnesota. It's going to help communities by providing the critical capital needed to pay for significant costs, as Scott McMahon talked about, acquisition of land and buildings, construction, renovation, and equally as important, equipping childcare enterprises. As a funder and a financer, we see a number of business plans and financial projections in our office for startups of childcare enterprises, whether that be centers or family license. These amazing visionary entrepreneurs face many obstacles, many hurdles as their plans unfold. And this bill will provide the critical funding to lessen these upfront barriers. Removing these barriers related to projects just not being bankable or having nearly impossible, if not impossible, debt service is critical to making these childcare operations sustainable and to have financial performance for the future that works for its families and the communities. For those barriers to be overcome, external investment and partnership is necessary so that operations are sustainable, so that quality is not compromised, and so that's affordable for all families. As noted already, the general fund dollars talked about in this bill serve both family childcare and center-based care in Greater Minnesota, in all of Minnesota. We need both center-based care and family childcare to solve the crisis. It covers both startup and expansion, which is critical for all this area. I think as we all know, a one-size-fits-all approach is not gonna work in Greater Minnesota. What works in Laverne may not work in Wilmer, and it may not work in Warroad. And that's the beauty of this program, is that it can look at all phases. In addition, a variety of organizational structures. So we're grateful for the flexibility because that will help foster and catalyze innovative models that are proving to be transformational in rural communities, collaborations between schools and hospitals, employer-driven models, engagement of the faith community, and new collaborations that we haven't even dreamed of. In addition to childcare, I'm hopeful that this bill will provide the capital needed to help repurpose, reinvest in, or redevelop underutilized commercial real estate. The wing in the school building we all have, the old hospital building, the big building downtown, this could be pretty transformational for all of those things. And finally, I know the time is getting late, but in our region, which has a significantly growing BIPOC population, this program will also help foster inclusive and culturally competent childcare, which Greater Minnesota communities need for workforce retention and family success. One example in our region that we're very proud of in Representative Baker's district is the Wilmer Child Care Center, which is a new private child care facility owned by a Somali entrepreneur who will provide quality child care with curriculum and services in three different languages. And we think that's awesome. And we believe that this bill will help fund more Wilmer Child Care Centers and more opportunities like that. So again, I thank you all for hearing this. This is a big issue. It comes across our radar every day. There's not a problem in our region that more communities are calling us about. And we believe that this investment is exactly what we need. And we're grateful for the chance to be heard today and look forward to putting it to work. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So the last but not the least is Ms. DeVos. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you so much. Good morning, Chairman Norm, members of the committee. My name is Karen DeVos. I serve on the board of the Minnesota Child Care Association. I also serve as co-president of the Minnesota chapter of the National Association for the Education of Young Children and the Minnesota School Age Care Alliance. In addition, I am the owner, director, and preschool teacher of Little Learners Early Childhood Center in Ada, Minnesota. Ada is in the northwest area of our state. Little Learners is currently the only center-based childcare facility in Norman County. We are housed on the same campus as a hospital, clinic, assisted living facility, and nursing home facility. Little Learners is a small center currently licensed to care for up to 39 children, infant through school age. In the 7+ years that we have been open, we have consistently remained at or near full capacity, with our infant room typically booked out a year in advance. Little Learners was fortunate to have the opportunity to partner with our local nursing home facility to provide care for their employees as well as other families in the community. The partnership, which included financial support for startup costs, and an agreement to provide a discounted employee rate in exchange for the building space, has been instrumental in ensuring that Little Learners is sustainable. Even with that incredible help, the first few years of business were grim, and more often than not, I did not take a paycheck. If we had been provided access to grant dollars to help with the expenses we incurred just to open, this could have looked very different for us. The stress and uncertainty of those first few years brought me close to shutting the doors of Little Learners many times. The model of a childcare within the nursing home space is one that has become very appealing to neighboring communities, and we have been approached several times to recreate a similar model in other towns. We would also love to expand and offer more infant toddler care within the city of Ada, but finding space to do so at a price that would allow us to be sustainable has been near impossible. We have been fortunate to partner with Halsted Living Center. In 2019, we agreed to partner with them and have been working on setting up a space for an early childhood center in their nursing home facility as well. COVID has put a pause on that new center, but we are anxious to move forward when the time is right. I will admit that even when the partnership and Community Thrives funding that is helping to get the Halsted facility open, even with that, there's still a very nervous part of me that worries that we could end up right back where we were in the early stages of our Ada venture. And with two children in college, I cannot afford to no longer take a paycheck. The grants that would be potentially accessible through this bill would certainly help ease that stress. Even with the additional spaces that the Halsted facility will provide, our community still severely lacks infant toddler space and after school space for the preschoolers and school-agers. This bill would provide significant help to providers, our community, and potentially even our school district to create extra spaces for the children and families who need them. The business of childcare is a difficult one. We know how expensive it is to pay for childcare, and we hear all the time about how expensive it is to run one. By providing grant dollars to help expand access, you are benefiting children, families, childcare providers, and business owners in the community. To me, that sounds like a big win for Greater Minnesota and the people who live, work, and grow their families in our amazing communities. Because of this, I strongly support House File 411 and will entertain questions at this time. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ms. DeVos, for your testimony. With that, I open up for discussion. Members, the first hand that I see is Lead Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Mayor, always great to see you, our friends to the west. And all the testifiers, thank you. Just this morning, I was on a call with one of our largest employers, and we were talking about the need for childcare. And Mr. Chairman and Representative Olson, here this last summer, we were invited down to the city of Worthington, myself and Senator Weber, and we had a cross-section of people that attended that meeting, from representatives from the college and the high school, businesses, banks, you name it. And everybody was putting their heads together trying to figure out this childcare crisis. And it comes right down to what you were saying and the testifiers are saying. You simply can't get it to cash flow. And my question, Representative Olson, this appears to be, I guess the question is this a new program that we're establishing?
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Hamilton, for the question and the spirit of it. So I can let Scott McMahon answer that, but I will say, I think I mentioned in my testimony that the fund was created last year in the bonding bill, and so this is the funding for that fund, but I can certainly turn it over to them for more specifics on what happened before my time.
Mr. McMahon.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hamilton, yes. So this is a proposal that the Greater Minnesota Partnership and the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities has been working on for a few years now. We finally got the structure of the grant program established in the bonding bill in the fall, but there wasn't any funding included with it at that point. And so we have two bills that we're working on this year. This one that would be a cash appropriation that would allow funding to go to providers themselves. And then there's a bill before the bonding committee that would provide bond funds that would be available to local governments to purchase and rehab and build out the space and be able to serve as the landlord to providers coming in.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Mr. McMahon. That's all my questions.
Thank you. Representative Herring.
Thank you, Chair Knorr, and thank you, Representative Olson, for bringing the bill forward. This is a concern in my region as well, and I really appreciate your work on this. My question as well might be to Mr. McMahon. I'm wondering if nonprofits can also apply for some of these grants. I know United Ways often run daycare centers, as do YMCAs, and would they be able to apply? I wasn't sure when I read the language. And then I also wanted to know about MIFs. You know, the MIFs also do daycare grant funding across our state. I want to understand how that intersects with this grant fund as well. But I am a supporter, Rep. Olson, and thanks for your work on this.
Representative Olson, or did you want to defy to Mr. McMahon? I see he's ready to answer the question. Go ahead, Mr. McMahon.
Mr. Chair, Representative Haley, so the bill before you today, the funds could go to any entity that is acting as a childcare provider. So if it's a YMCA that's doing it, if it's, you know, a local nonprofit that's in that world, if it's a for-profit company that's coming in and looking at expanding and building a center, they would be available. These funds would also be accessible to the local government partners in that situation. So that's kind of the world of which the grants could go to. As to the initiative foundations, yes, they have done a fantastic job over the years in this childcare space. They would definitely be supportive of what we're trying to do here. My hope is that the MIFs would be available to help support the technical assistance that the providers would need to make sure that they're developing sustainable operations. But these grants would not go directly to the initiative foundations.
Representative Haley.
No further follow-up, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Back to Representative Olson for closing remarks on House File 411.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and thank you to the testifiers. I think they highlighted exactly the urgency of it. I heard a lot of urgency around the need. I also heard a lot about, you know, every 87 counties this impacts. It impacts BIPOC communities. It impacts all, touches every area and every community in our state, and especially the need is great in greater Minnesota. So I really appreciate the committee considering this legislation, and hopefully we can move it forward.
Thank you so much, Representative Olson. Representative Olson renews her motion, House File 411, be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. With that, we move to House File 412. Representative Olson, please introduce the House File 412 to us and move the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So I won't go back through all the details. I think the testifiers in the last bill did a great job highlighting the need for childcare in greater Minnesota. So this is just another piece of the puzzle, another way we're tackling the childcare crisis in greater Minnesota. So this bill, House File 412, provides $10 million for the DEED Child Care Provider Grant Program for grants to local communities to increase the number of child care providers to support economic development. And so the funding opportunities include child care startup or expansion, child care provider training, facility modifications, direct subsidies or incentives to retain employees, assistance with licensing and regulatory requirements. And the priority in this is for communities that have demonstrated a shortage of childcare providers, and the grants require a 50% non-state match. And this is a statewide grant program with 50% of the grants committed for projects in greater Minnesota. And so with that, I have three testifiers on the bill, and we can roll with that, Mr. Chair.
Representative Olson moves House File 412 to be laid over for possible inclusion. So on to the testifier. Who's the first testifier? Representative Olson.
Mr. Chair, it would be Cisa Keller.
Ms. Keller, welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Wonderful. Good afternoon, Chair Knorr and members of this committee. My name is Cisa Keller. I'm the Senior Vice President of Early Childhood Quality Development at Think Small, and I'm here testifying in support for House File 412. Every Minnesotan is touched by childcare, whether directly or indirectly. Think Small believes that by prioritizing significant investments in childcare, Minnesota can achieve a triple bottom line. This includes supporting young children by preparing them for success in kindergarten and beyond, supporting employment for working families, and finally, supporting Minnesota's economy by boosting the business of childcare. According to a national pre-COVID pandemic report by Ready Nation, due to inadequate childcare options, working families report lower time at work, less productive time, and diminished career opportunities. Collectively, this results in working parents losing on average just under $9,000 in lost earnings each year. Businesses losing on average about $1,500 per working parent annually. And finally, taxpayers losing on average just over $2,000 per working parent again annually. The economic consequences of inadequate childcare are large and long lasting. Under the fiscal year 20 child care grants, Think Small was able to expand its pilot project aimed at directly increasing the number of quality child care slots in the 7-county metro. Through our Build Your Own program, Think Small's expert staff provided a unique combination of business consultation and technical assistance to participants interested in starting and or expanding child care businesses. From July 2019 through July of 2020, Think Small was able to support 52 programs to become licensed in areas identified as childcare deserts. As of today, 48 of those 52 programs remain open, resulting in the creation of 68 jobs and 654 childcare slots. 60% of those 48 open programs are currently participating in Parent Aware, Minnesota's quality rating and improvement system. And 20 of those 48 newly licensed childcare businesses are owned and operated by women of color. House File 412 addresses one of Think Small's top priorities to preserve and increase the supply of childcare programs. We support provisions that invest directly in local Minnesotan communities, specifically those that are experiencing shortages in child care providers. We also support the bill's commitment to a comprehensive investment through an emphasis on job creation, training, as well as increasing child care slots. In addition, we support this bill as a statewide proposal, as families are experiencing child care deserts in every part of the state. Thank you, Chair Noor and members of the committee, for your time, and I'm here for any questions.
Thank you so much, Ms. Keller, for also reminding us about the childcare deserts that we have in our state and also in the local region here. I believe the next person is Ms. Josh. Nancy Josh, welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Good afternoon, Chair Noor and committee members. I'm Nancy Jost, and I'm the Director of Early Childhood at West Central Initiative, and it's based in Fergus Falls. I've been in the early childhood for 45 years. West Central Initiative is one of the six Minnesota Initiative Foundations. We're often called the MIFs, and I would like to start off today by saying that the MIFs support House File 412. This funding will give agencies, including the MIFs, across Minnesota the opportunity to help reduce the shortage of childcare, particularly in rural Minnesota. It would allow the MIFs and other agencies to use it in ways that might be different from one another, because each region and each community might have different needs and different solutions. It would allow us to be flexible and innovative enough to work with individual communities in a way that would meet their individual needs that and would be most helpful to them. That might include business supports, trainings, funding for facilities and modification of facilities, for professional development and continuing education for staff, as my partner and colleague Mary Rotter will be telling you about in a few minutes, and recruitment and retention incentives. Right now, West Central Initiative, through West Central Initiative, I'm working with a community, small community in West Central Minnesota called Barnesville. And they have a shortage of childcare, like many communities do. And so we've been meeting for the last 3 months, and we'll continue to be meeting to try and figure out what we are going to do with the capacity for childcare. And I'm thinking the funding for through this would be perfect to help us figure that out. So this would be really useful funding for us. This funding will allow organizations like the MIFS to improve an infrastructure in our communities. And that infrastructure is childcare. As Scott said before, Scott McMahon, childcare is the business that keeps other businesses in business. Communities across Minnesota, especially in rural Minnesota, will benefit from this funding. We want to continue doing the work we have done with previous funding and continue to explore innovative solutions to the childcare shortages. Thank you for allowing me to speak today.
Thank you so much, Ms. Jost. The last testifier on this bill is Ms. Rota. Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon. My name is Mary Rotter, owner and director of Laker Prep Preschool and Laker Prep Early Childhood Center, both in Detroit Lakes in West Central Minnesota. I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak from my point of view about the House File 412. My teaching career began in 2001 when I was hired as a kindergarten teacher at a St. Paul charter school. I taught at this school for 10 years. The cold truth that surfaced every year was that children experiencing high quality early childhood education were better prepared than their peers for the K-12 system. I want to emphasize that the unprepared trend wasn't and still isn't related to a certain program model. Children can arrive prepared for kindergarten after experiencing trained and intentional education in their own homes or licensed family childcare, licensed childcare centers, and other program types. The key is trained and intentional, and that is where I'd like to speak positively today. This continued trend led me to my current position in the opening of Laker Prep Preschool in 2011. I based my marketing on Art Rolnick's studies of economic impact of early childhood education and the benefits resulting from it for children and society alike. My goal will always be that the children entering our care will have the trained and nurturing staff that help them grow to their full potential. With this goal in mind, it costs ample amounts of money for staff to attain this level of training and education. The childcare business model does not allow for such excess funds in our budgets. Completing yearly training requirements is just not intentional enough. When a teacher enters our program with their two-year early childhood degree or more, they are well on their way to success. They have theory knowledge, growing experience, and now will put into practice with our support. However, not everyone has that opportunity or pathway. Without guidance of specific trainings and practice, a teacher cannot grow as effectively. Again, we need intentionality. Some of the best teachers come with a natural ability to work with children, but lack education. We want to grow these teachers to their full potential just as we do with children. Obtaining a child development associate, a CDA, while working is one of the best ways to support staff and children alike. West Central Initiative has created a support system for our region so that the cost is not a burden on the staff or the program, but benefits all. Earning a CDA allows a teacher to train on the job with specific theory behind each training module, and once completed, can be promoted in their current programming. And almost always, this results in better pay. This also addresses the staff turnover, which is another reason to continue and train staff on the job. The brightest point is that no one can take away this credential should a teacher decide to change facilities or start their own program. We then have an intentionally trained member of the early childhood profession providing quality care for children as they build skills to ready them for kindergarten. Please support the Child Care Provider Grant as it is a win-win-win-win for children, families, teachers, and programs. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your testimony and to everyone who has testified on this bill. Members, any discussion? Any discussion? This is an important topic. As we all know, and I've stated at the beginning, women labor force participation hit very low in the last few months because of the challenges that they're facing, particularly when it comes to childcare needs. We know we have to do something to ensure that we provide that cushion and be able to support women who are in need of childcare and families who need childcare so that they can participate in the labor force. I see Representative Jorgensen with a question or comment.
Just a comment, Mr. Chair, and actually you said it very well, and I just wanted to thank the testifiers for coming here today. This is another good bill. I think all three bills today they get us going in the right direction to help with child care throughout the state of Minnesota, to help people go back to the workforce if that's what they choose to do. So I just wanted to thank the testifiers for being here today.
Thank you. Representative Olson, closing remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just say how I've been sharing with this bill. With success, our employers no longer have to decide whether to grow or locate in a community based on the availability of childcare. And with success, our families no longer have to decide whether to work or where to work based on the availability of childcare. And so I appreciate the support, and I renew my motion that House File 412 be laid over for possible inclusion.
Thank you, Representative Olson. Renews her motion. House File 412 be laid over for possible inclusion. Members, we don't have any other agenda items before us, so the meeting for today is adjourned. Thank you so much.